the book of Jude, excuse me, there are two things, two qualities that Christians need. Lots. I know that you could name other things. But there are two things we need, and one is, of course, compassion, right? But the other one is curiosity. Curiosity. We need that in our lives. As Christians, curiosity will keep us searching the Scripture and searching the heart of God. It will also keep us interested in people and in solutions. Some people have no curiosity. They don't know how it works, don't want to know how it works. They don't care if it works. They're not curious. They just move on. But we need to be curious. We need to be curious in life. Why am I here? Why did God put me in this place at this time? And I believe, just like with the book of Esther, I believe we are born for such a time as this. I believe that God orchestrated that we would be here now, alive, and influencing things around us and people around us. But we need to be curious. We need to be curious about what God's Word says. About, are you curious about what the church believes? Are you curious about what other people believe? Are you curious about what people are interested in? We need to be curious. And we need to be compassionate. We need to love people. We need to care about people. The curiosity will help us to be interested in people and even in solutions for their situations. But compassion will help us to see the needs and the wounds without judgment and without condemnation. You see, that's the hard part. Some people get in a situation where their lives are better and their thinking is better and their heart is better, and they don't use it to help other people. They use it against other people. Remember the publican and the Pharisee as they went into the temple to pray? Jesus said they both went in to pray, and the Pharisee got up, you know, religious man, and he said, Lord, thank you. I'm not like this guy over here. If that's your prayer today, you're worse than that guy over there. I'm glad I'm better than he is. And then the publican, the Bible says, would not even lift his head to pray, but as he bowed his head, he smote his chest, and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Because we realize our need. We realize we're not perfect. We realize we need help. We need help from God. We need a hand from God. We need direction from God. And so compassion will help us to see people's needs and even their wounds without judgment. You know why some people don't go to church? Because they used to go to church and somebody hurt them. Because they used to go to church and the sermons were abusive or toxic or whatever term you want to use. They didn't use the Bible to help people, but they used the Bible as some kind of a sword to chop people up into little bitty pieces. That's not what God's Word is for. Yes, God's Word is to shine the light on who we are and to show us where we fall short. It is to shine the light on us. What are the Ten Commandments for? What is the law all about? It is to reveal to us that no matter how hard we try, we still fall short. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And Jesus came and died on the cross for my sin. Everybody do this. Everybody do this. My sin. Now point at the other person next to you and go, and yours too. He died for our sin. Yeah, your sin. Oh, but preacher, you don't know how bad I am. You're right. And I'm glad I don't. We probably wouldn't have let you in this morning. But God knows. And He loves you anyway. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jude, we looked at James in Sunday school this morning. Now we look at Jude. What is the significance about both of these men? They were both brothers to Jesus. Half-brothers, because Jesus' dad is God, right? And their dad is Joseph. But half-brother, they had the same mom. And I find it interesting. I discovered this years ago when I was preparing to teach at a Bible camp for children, youth camp. And it occurred to me that God understands, Jesus in particular, understands a blended family. He understands, Jesus understands what it's like to live in a home with a stepdad, with somebody who's not his father. The world, you know, we got a lot of children in that situation today. Jesus understands. And so we go to verse number 17. It says, "Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." You know, mockers mock to suppress the guilt they have for their sin. And they believe that if they can dismiss the standards and the principles of the Bible, that they can shake off the feelings of judgment they feel against them. And the truth is that today, and for decades, but it continually gets worse, the influences and the instruction is so heavy, along with the absence of moral clarity, that many believe there is no God, and therefore no moral absolute. Is it always wrong to kill? Is it always wrong to commit fornication or adultery or to steal? Is it always wrong? You see, we look at those things and we say, well, you know, today's society, we try to justify it. Right? We say fornication. What is fornication? Fornication is sex outside of a marriage. God created, and isn't it great, God designed something like sex and He put it into a marriage to build the relationship and to solidify that relationship between a man and a woman. But not only that, also we could have kids that way, right? And so God in His, and He's going to propagate humanity, you know, so we'll have more children, but also that will build a relationship and draw us together. In fact, not to go too far with it, but it is a spiritual connection between a man and a woman. So, that belongs in a marriage. And anything outside of that is fornication. Is fornication always wrong? Well, the Bible says it is. And if God is God, then that is a moral absolute. But today we say, well, you know, if they love each other, it's okay. No. I mean, if you love each other, get married. Right? What's the problem? Well, we don't want to rush into anything. Hold on a second. Back up. That's what we're talking about, rushing into something. See, guys, the truth is that there is a moral absolute. That there is truth and there is false. There is right and there is wrong. But in our society, in our culture, we are continuing this idea that it's all relative and it all just depends on your situation. And it may be right. And it may be wrong. It may be okay. And so what do we do? Well, if we take God out, no God, Well, if there's no God, then there's no Bible. And if there's no God and there's no Bible, then really what's the point of the church? Or Christianity? And if there's no God and no Bible and no church and no Christianity, then there's nobody telling me what's right and what's wrong. You see, there used to be in this country that the moral laws of the Bible were reflected in the laws of the land. But we slowly decided that that was religion mixed with government, and we can't have that. And so we took morality out. By the way, now, in some places, you can just walk in and take what you want and not pay for it. I mean, it's still shoplifting. It's still stealing. But there's no penalty. There's no prosecution. And by the way, that can't be sustained. There is no way we can sustain that in our society, in our culture, in our economy. At some point, we're going to reach the bottom, and I hope that we're not around for it. But on the other hand, I hope that it's in my day so that my kids don't have to endure it. So he says there are mockers, and mockers mock because they don't want to feel bad about what they do wrong. And so they want to get rid of the idea of right and wrong. Walking, he says in verse 18, after their own ungodly lust. What does that mean? Let me just make it pokey for you, all right? I do what I want to do. You don't tell me what to do. Because why? You're not the boss of me. Yeah, somebody knew. You're not the boss of me. And that's our new society. Well, guys, we can't survive that way. A home has to have order. God put order in the home. God put order in government. There's got to be order. There's got to be someone that can enforce the law. And so verse number 19, he says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They're independent. They're self-centered. They're driven by flesh and by personal gratification. In other words, what satisfies me? What makes me happy? That's all that matters. Hey, guys, that won't last. Sometimes we got to do what's right, not what feels good. We've been given a carrot cake. How many of you can say, praise the Lord? Now, I can tell you that what I would like to do is go get some ice cream and some milk and to marry that carrot cake to that ice cream and to celebrate it with a glass of milk, which I am going to do. But here's the question. Am I going to eat this much? That's how big the cake is. I saw it. Am I going to share it? Am I going to pace myself? Right? You can take that cake and make it last a whole week. But, or just get the fork out and eat one piece. And of course, it's kind of silly. But the point is this. That's not good for you. I mean, a little bit is. But if we just do what the flesh... By the way, I was looking at stuff. Let me see how much time we got. I was looking at stuff the other day. And you know, now they've got some injection you could take. And it'll make you skinny. And I said, let's research this. And so I researched it. And I started looking at that. Brother Chuck, you know what it says? It says it'll take away your appetite. You know what I realized? That's my appetite's not my problem. I eat a lot of times when I'm not hungry. Anybody else in that same boat? My problem is not my appetite. My problem is my eyes. What I need is blinders. Here's the point. The point is we could do what we want to do. We can be impulsive and do what feels good. But I could tell you something, that if I eat a little bit of cake, because that would be the right thing to do, I will feel better in 2 hours than if I eat a lot of cake. And I can enjoy a little bit of cake today and a little bit tomorrow and a little bit the next day and share it and everybody would be happy. Or I could be greedy and selfish and impulsive and self-centered and I won't feel good physically and it's bad for you, right? If you're going to tell me this much is bad for me, we don't need to talk, right? Somebody get a hold of him. Meddling. That's right, Brother Scott, you're meddling. But the point is this. Hey, we're talking about cake and we're having fun. What about drugs? What about alcohol? What about fornication? What about adultery? What about lying? What about stealing? What about, you know, just a little bit? The question is this. If I'm impulsive, if I'm self-centered, if I just do what I want to do right now. Have you ever been driving and just wanted to crush somebody's car because they did something wrong? You shouldn't do that. Anybody ever made you mad and you just want to punch them? You shouldn't do that. Anybody made you mad and you just want to cuss them? You shouldn't do that. You see, what he's saying is that these are people who are selfish. They're only thinking about themselves and they separate themselves. Here's the thing we need. You know what we need? We need community. I said we need compassion and we need curiosity, but we also need community. What we call church. You say, well, I can be saved by myself at home. You're right. Just you and Jesus, you can get saved. But you need accountability and you need encouragement. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament? Elijah had a great victory. Sent word from the king that said, I'm going to kill you or I'll die myself if you're not dead by this time tomorrow, basically. And here's this great prophet off a great victory. And he ran off into the wilderness by himself. And he sat down under a juniper tree by himself. He had separated himself. And he said, I just want to die. I wish I was dead. God, why don't you just kill me? Isn't that what happened? Why? Well, I can tell you this. He shouldn't have isolated himself. He should have been around people that loved him and encouraged him and helped him to keep his state of mind positive, to build him up and to celebrate. Oh, Elijah, boy, that was something. I was so excited when I saw that fire fall down from heaven and burn up that altar. Boy, did you see those prophets of Baal as they hightailed it down Mount Carmel to the valley. Woo, what a celebration. You know, we need people to celebrate with us. We need people to dance with us and to cry with us and to laugh with us. We need community. But what happens is sometimes our intentions are bad and so we don't want other people to see that, so we hide it. And we keep secrets. And we put on a false front. And we become frauds. And we become too independent. We're separating ourselves. Sensual, fulfilling the flesh and the senses, having not the Spirit, not led of God. And then he says this in verse 20. But ye, who are we talking to? We're talking to the saints. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. In verse 19, he says separating themselves. In verse 20, he says building up yourselves. In verse 19, separating themselves brings us from a group to an individual. In verse 20, we're going building up yourselves. Building up each other. What are we talking about? Community. What are we talking about? Church. Let me ask you a question. Are you encouraged because somebody else is here today? Are you glad somebody else is here? I mean, I'm glad it's not just you and me, and I mean, I probably wouldn't preach this long if it was just you and me. But aren't you glad? Aren't you encouraged by the people that are around you? Aren't you glad they're here? Have you built them up? Have you told them how pretty they are today, or how handsome they are today, or how they smell good, and how their hair's just right? And I like that shirt, and I like that blouse, and those earrings, and that necklace, and what great shoes. You say, Pastor, really? Yeah. Because you know what that does? That makes people happy. It encourages people. And so take time to do that. He says, building up yourselves. But not just on their appearance, and not just on their presence, but look at what he says, on your most holy faith. On their faith. Let's build each other up in what we believe. You know how I can build you up in what I believe? If I'm sitting out there and I hear something that we believe in, I can say, amen. And then that'll build you up because you go, yeah, I believe that too. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time in prayer. Letting God lead our prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed something selfish. But you know, we don't pray selfishly when the Holy Ghost leads the prayer. When I let the Lord give me the words to my prayer, then it's not selfish. Then it's aligned with God. Then if it's aligned with God, then I'm assured that God's going to answer that prayer according to His will and His purpose and exactly what I asked for. When it's led by the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keeping yourselves. Number 20, he said, building up yourselves. Verse 21, he says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. He says, keeping yourselves. Keeping yourselves. Am I capable of not sinning? Am I capable of not sinning? This means yes. This means no. Do I have the ability, if I'm about to tell a lie, to not tell that lie? Do I have the ability, if I'm about to steal something, to not steal it? I have the ability. He says, keeping yourselves. You have the ability. I have the ability. It's self-control. It's self-discipline. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, and of some have compassion, making a difference. How are we going to make a difference? Is there another way? Christians have got to have compassion, curiosity, community. We've got to have compassion. Let me ask you a question. As we ask for prayer requests and pray, look in the Word of God to help. What kind of church would it be if I didn't care about you? What kind of church would it be if you came in here and you sat down and you say, you know that preacher, he didn't care anything about me. We've got to have compassion. You know what makes this church great? It's not even the idea that I love you, that I care. You know what makes this church great? Is where you're sitting, you're looking around you, and there's people around you, and you know, and you say, you know, they care about me. They care. It's the church that cares. Yes, the Lord cares. Yes, the pastor cares. But the people care. Compassion. That's what makes a difference. Finally, in verse 23, he says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He says, Jesus in verse 24 is the one that keeps us from falling. But I draw your attention to verse 23. I want you to give your life to Jesus today. I want you to find hope by putting your faith in God. I want you to know God, the God loves you. That He created you, that He designed you, that He put you here on purpose, and there is a purpose for your life. I want you to know God loves you. You're a sinner. We all are, and God loves you. gave his only begotten son for you. That if right now from your heart to God's heart, you would call out and just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Can I tell you that if you'll pray that prayer sincerely right now from your heart to God, God will hear you and he'll save you and he'll write your name in the book of life and you're assured for eternity that God is your Father, that Jesus is your Savior, and heaven is your eternal home. What did he say in verse 23? He said, others you'll have to save with fear. He said, having compassion make a difference. Compassion, love makes a difference. But I just told you how to be saved, that God loves you. And for some of you, you didn't get saved. You didn't say, I'm going to trust God right now for my Savior. You didn't do that. So Jude says, don't give up there. If that doesn't work, use fear. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Saving them from the flames. Because let me tell you this, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You say, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. Then, look, I'm not trying to press you, but I want you to understand. If you've not put your faith in Jesus, if you take your final breath right now, you're going to hell. Jude says, save them with fear. Reach them with fear. He said, pull them out of the fire because their feet are already headed that direction. Save them if you can with compassion. But if that doesn't work, let them know what's on the other side. It's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be saved. I want you to walk with God. I want you to know the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I want you to know what it is to be full in faith. But if you want to stay outside of that, I need to warn you that you're hellbound. And you're the only one that can change that. Because Jesus already made the way and you just won't take it. But it's up to you. Is completely your choice. Would you stand right now? God, we love you. We love your word, and we've had fun this morning, and we've enjoyed being in your word. But I pray that you will draw us to you, that you will teach us, that you will inspire us, and that you will challenge us. We realize we need you. And as we look around at our friends and the people we love, we realize they need you too. And we ask that you would use us, use our compassion, our curiosity, to get us in the Word and to get us to help others find salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. You say, well, I don't quite understand. I think I understand, but I'm really just not sure. Would you come down the aisle and take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to get saved. But I could tell you right now from your heart to God's heart, where you stand, God will hear you when you say, God, I need you. I put my faith in you. I confess my sin and ask you to save my soul. God, I give myself to you. Would you? You say, Pastor, I'm already saved. My sins are washed away. Let me ask you something. How's your compassion? Are we loving others like we should? Are we curious? Do we care if they're saved? Do we care if they know God? We need some curiosity in the church. We need to start thinking about other people and caring about them. having compassion make a difference? Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?